Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about the elements that build a strong family foundation. This is all part of a workshop that you can find at mystronghome.com. And each day, we're going through part of a worksheet that you can find in the entire workshop that's there.
Well, we covered the idea of discipline and what it looks like to live a life that has firm, consistent, non-abusive discipline based on principles. Discussion and agreement. Well, the partner to that in being a parent is instruction, mm-hmm. because we don't just do discipline to control our children, though that is one of the results. We do it because we want them to learn. And we mentioned a little bit last time about how we want to move children solidly toward the idea of a life of ruling their own spirit, because that's part of being successful as a parent.
It is. And I just want to clarify, you were talking about one of the goals is partially to control our kids, but the ultimate goal is to teach them to be self-controlled. We're not trying to be controlling.
No.
Not the entire parts of their lives. And I know that, I want to say, you guys know that about us, but you may not.
Well, in instruction, one of the big picture you have to look at is that we're emphasizing maturity and independent morality. Mm-hmm. And so until our children are able to have their own independent morality, they need to rely upon ours. And when I say morality, I'm not just talking about the principles behind us, but how we treat other people, because that's what morality is all about. Mm-hmm. And mom and dad are supposed to be overseeing that. In fact, biblically, we're supposed to be watching that like a hawk, mm-hmm. every bit as much as, watching over feeding them and clothing them.
And demonstrating it. And really, the goal for raising kids is for them to not stay kids, but to be well-adjusted, well-informed about life adults. So kids who know how to interact with adults as well as kids. And sometimes you may notice that your kids don't do very well with adults. They may not want to look them in the eye, or they don't know how to respond to them. And it's just it's kind of a red flag or an alert to you. Be careful that my kids are learning how to speak to adults and not just only deal with kids.
That relates a lot to skills. This relates a little bit to the foundation of the heart. We provide for and pray for our children to have a spiritual, practical, and relevant understanding of the scriptures. And we started out with the Bible stories, and we built on the Bible stories and taught them relevantly to them at the particular age that they were at. But it's way more than understanding what the stories are. It's understanding what the stories have to do with the heart. And that's where I think it gets it's a lot more work, and it's a lot more difficult to get people to do more than just parrot the right information, but to recognize the issues of the heart that are flowing from the scriptures.
Yes, and it's harder because it means we have to deal with ourselves in all of that too. We have to, as we tell those stories and explain what this has to do with the heart, sometimes we're revealing things about ourselves, like your kids will say something like, well, didn't you get mad at the neighbor the other day? things like that. All of a sudden it can be exposing.
I think some of the most powerful experiences I had with my kids in raising them were times when I had to sit down and say, I didn't do that right. Mm-hmm. And this is what I didn't do right. And this is the principle that I went against when I did it. And I can remember a couple times having my kids look at me like they couldn't believe it, because didn't I do everything right?
Yes, that wild-eyed.
At least that's what I thought.
It seems also that we need to understand well so that we can teach our kids well what's in the Bible and what it meant to the people at the time it was written, so that we can understand what it means now to us. Because some stories don't just cross cultures. The meaning of the story does, but the story itself doesn't very well. And so we have to understand what the story actually meant in that culture so that we can bring it into our culture and into our kids' culture, which is going to look different than the parents' culture.
We're talking about our family workshop at mystronghome.com, which you can find it there. There are some free resources for you. And I'm looking at this checklist back and forth, and I'm thinking about some of the things that we experienced as we taught our kids to be socially effective and yet personally inoffensive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really an art.
one of the verses
I'm still working on it.
one of the verses that was good for me and just helped me try to explain this to the kids was, it was a verse in Luke when it says, Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. Now, I'm reading that out of the Message. It's the verse, you'll recognize it probably, the one that uses the phrase that Jesus grew in stature and in favor with God and men. So we're not teaching our children how to be popular or powerful, because that's really what popularity is that they have some kind of power. But what we're trying to do is give them the understanding of how to be effective in their spheres of influence. And as they are, you know, try to be personally inoffensive and socially effective, that's actually what they're doing, is let God's spirit flow through their lives. Because when you're kind, when you're just, you know, when you speak up for the downtrodden, all those things that seem hard, the things that will make you seem unpopular, are actually the things that do the exact opposite, because people are drawn to people with who are kind.
One of the things that we devoted ourselves to with our kids in the area of instruction was preparing them to face the challenge of being in a believing minority. And when I think about how this is accelerated, even since our children were young, you know, we're no longer in the same place that we were a couple of decades ago, several decades ago. So to be a part of a believing minority really presents challenges. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this isn't the first time that that's happened in history. And again, it's why our kids need to be able to access the scriptures to look for those kinds of principles.
And that's the exact word I was going to use. The principles stand for whether you're in North Korea or whether you're here in a minority in your class or in your neighborhood, wherever it is. And your kids will discover this really quickly. It doesn't take long to realize, not everybody believes what I believe or wants to live or cares about the things I care about. But they'll need to have courage not to cave. And they'll need you to remind them to ask God to show up with power in their lives.
This leads to the final thing that we're going to talk about in instruction. And we've got a little time to discuss creating some family memories that are good for the kids and for us as a family. We're teaching and modeling how to become a team player before our children. And, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about a family, is that you are a team. And so how does that team work together? How do they communicate? How do they care for one another? How do they challenge one another? All the different things that you'd want on the perfect sports team. Well, you certainly want that in your family, where you are really functioning together and learning your place in a team.
Yeah, I think as we're teaching our kids how to be leaders, we're also teaching our kids, you just can't help but in America to kind of talk about the pioneer spirit. It's just sort of born within us because we're Americans. And, you know, those two things don't always lend themselves to being good team players. You know,
yes.
If everyone in the family is trying to be a leader, it just doesn't work. At some point, somebody has to be a Benjamin. Somebody has to be the right-hand man. And within a family, that can change from one thing to another. But everybody sort of needs to learn how to be a leader at sometimes and how not to be a leader.
Discipline, instruction. I want to talk a little bit about memories when we talk about the family foundation, because we're looking at some building blocks here that are incredibly important. And we're just going to kind of bop through these and maybe give you a few examples. Boy, bop, I haven't used that for a while. Of memories of time spent enjoying one another in both spontaneous and planned settings and activities.
Remember, this is this whole thing is rating. You're rating how well you feel like you're doing this. So, you know, the question here is, are you doing it? Are you taking that 10 minutes when your kids are out on a summer day to take a squirt gun or a water balloon or a baseball glove just to join them and make a memory? How well are you doing that? That's what this whole worksheet is to rate yourself on, have I let that slide or am I doing it?
Well, the tough thing for me on this is, because I'm such a project-driven person, I would miss a lot of the opportunities that were presented. That 10 minutes here, or that 5 minutes here, or that chance to just kind of throw the playbook out the window and pivot and go with what was happening in the family. That's been a huge deal for us. And I think it's made it why, I mean, even to this day, when we get together for lunch and hang out together as a family, have fun.
Yeah, we do. Talk and laugh. I always found that when I was, if I, as a mom, if I would sit down the kids would, all of a sudden they'd come out of nowhere and join me. And I realized that was something that they needed me to do, was to be with them. And that made memories.
Here's another great memory that you want to communicate within your family by how you live, not just what you say, of a father and a mother who knows how to resolve conflict and remain committed to each other.
Yeah. How well are you showing your kids that you both can be fair and non-manipulative in an argument and come to a resolution? Sometimes you know it's not a good subject. It's like, this is not a good one. We should not do this one in front of the kids. But sometimes you get into it and you go, we can work this out. It's good for your kids to kind of see conflict, to see you come to resolution. Sometimes one or the other has to kind of give in and have a good attitude about it. It is really good for kids to see that.
And it adds to an environment of security, which is what you really want for your family.
And they learn how to fight fair.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another one, developing friendship with family members. And I listed three things. Working on the child who's most like you.
Which might make it easier or harder.
The father to daughter, who, you know, those kind of relationships, dad to daughter, because those are unique. Mm-hmm. And you may have a background that plays to that or not.
Mm-hmm. And then the mother to son. This one is interesting. You had a friend stop over one time and his mom had just died and he was a little misty-eyed. And he said, the hard thing about losing your mom is, though I know my wife loves me and my daughters love me, I could do anything and my mom still would have loved me. I knew she was a completely safe place. And so there is kind of something special about moms and sons.
A couple more principles of things that you want to try to develop the atmosphere of in your family so that when kids look back, they can think, I have a memory of that. Our home being a safe place and a refuge from conflict, where we can talk honestly and straightforwardly with one another, but we don't live in conflict. And boy, that's a big challenge. And if you can pull that off, it's a pretty amazing thing.
Yes, because you have to learn. What we had to learn was to have our major conflict not in front of the kids. At the same time, having some conflict in front of the kids, like I was saying earlier, they do need to learn how to fight fair and have the reality that family is going to, you're going to have disagreements within the family.
But it can be a refuge. And the way you deal with it, it can be a safe place. Because at the bottom line, at the core of everything, is that you're a part of the family and that you're loved.
Mm-hmm.
Finish today with, I'm losing my voice here. I
don't know what's going to happen. Don't.
It's taking off on me. A memory of a home where others who are in need are helped within the walls and the resources of our family. And I think this is something where you really can model the gospel to your kids, depending upon, you know, your gifts and where you live and what your opportunities are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when your home is a safe place, you end up getting to be a home where others find help and shelter from the storms and uncertainties of life when they need it. And all of a sudden you realize that, you know, kids are enjoying hanging around your home because you have something to offer them. And even adults, you'll find that they're with you because your place is not a place of conflict. It's a place of safety.
The family foundation has blocks in it, and we by no means have the market cornered on this, but discipline and instruction, they're kind of like in the schematic, they're the core, you know, because that's what is in principle what God is teaching us. And then you add to that the idea of creating an environment where the kinds of memories really bless your children as they move into life. Pretty cool. Fourthstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's programming in its entirety, go to fourthstream.com and click on that old radio button.
Together we are finding hope at fourthstream.com.